Listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengell. Local sports, national sports. The G-Cat is on it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Now, settle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengell.
We'll go over the first week in the NFL tomorrow on Turn the Page Tuesday. But yes, you heard there at the top of the hour Sports Center, when you don't know who's starting in week two at quarterback, that's not a good thing. Deshaun Watson, 102 yards, a touchdown, a pick. Tom Savage, 62 yards, 7-13.
We could have told you, Coach O'Brien. Should have started Watson to begin with.
Anyway, our focus, of course, your New Orleans Saints. Adrian Peterson on the reception he expects tonight in Minnesota.
A great one. You know, I wouldn't expect anything other than that.
Yes, the defense for the Vikings has been a storyline.
Those guys both get up the field quick. They get off on the ball. You know, they're close to the top of the league and force penalties at home. They're very good and very challenging in your protection.
Indeed. That's head coach Sean Payton. Much more coming up here in this hour. Mike Triplett at 2:15 from ESPN.com. He's up in Minnesota. The key that he thinks will be determining as to who wins this game or not, and a player on offense and defense that he believes needs to have a good game. That's the question we've been asking y'all. 800-998-1003. 800-998-1003 is the way that I'm asking you guys to be involved in the show. Also at ESPN Radio, NOLA. And the Viking on Twitter saying, Brian, sounds like he was talking to his cell phone and to a fan. He's in Houston. And apparently cell connection is as good as it's going to be right now. So apologies if you couldn't hear most of what he said. But basically, we made fun of the Falcons and how their right guard got the worst grade by Pro Football Focus of anybody that played yesterday. They should have lost that game. They should have lost that game. But we, of course, are focusing on the Saints. Some of the players that I'm looking at, you can so many that you can kind of focus on as to where it's going to go. Key offensive player, key defensive player, and a key to the game. And I said in hour number one, I think for me it's pretty simple as to the key of the game is third down. And hear me out. Saints got to possess the ball. If they can just either eat up clock, change the field of position, that's going to help. So I think that's key. I also think getting off the field on defense would help, right? I'm talking about getting a chance to have some confidence on a defensive end and frustrating a Vikings offense that tallied 3 points when the first unit was on there. As you've heard throughout the show, they've tried different combinations. Sam Bradford said they've tried different combinations all preseason to try to find the five guys that go into the game into tonight. And it'll be the first time all of those five guys have played a game together. So it's key that the Saints defensive line can take advantage of that. As for my offensive player, I think that needs to step up. It's Ryan Ramczyk. I think he has to have a good game. Not to have a great game, just a good game, right? And I think the main reason I say that more than anything is, well, he's going to be tested. But if he can just handle his own, he doesn't have to be an all-pro. Just handle your own. Breeze will get confidence. Sean Payton will get confidence. And I think the offense can open up a bit more. I think early on they'll protect him. See some chipping by some guys, some quick passes, some quick reads. Trying to get him into the flow of the game. Defensively, I'm going with A.J. Klein. Putting players in position to make plays, I think, will be key. It's a big game, national TV, a young team. Klein can help immensely by putting the young players and guys in spots by not having them in blown coverages or things of that nature. Sam Bradford, he set the NFL completion percentage record last year. He's going to dink and dunk and dunk. They don't have a bunch of, hopefully, ducks, right, with the Saints defense. They don't have a lot of offensive weapons there. They did draft Delvin Cook. Okay, that's fine. And they're the 32nd run team from a year ago. which is why they went and got Cook. And it's also why they brought in, was it Latavius Murray in the offseason through free agency. But they averaged just 75.3 yards per game last year, 18th in passing. The defense, third overall, 20th in stopping the run, third in stopping the pass. Five Pro Bowlers from Minnesota. Linebacker Anthony Barr, defensive end Everson Griffin, defensive tackle Linville Joseph, cornerback Xavier Rhodes, and safety Harrison Smith. Those are the Pro Bowlers for the Vikings. They're back. The history on this team. Minnesota leads the regular season series, picking up 18 of 28 meetings ever between the two. Joey, you remember the first meeting, don't you? October 13th, 1968 at Tulane Stadium. Saints won 2017. It would then take 10 years later before they would beat them again. Six straight losses during that 10-year time span. Since Sean Payton's arrival, however, both teams have met four times. You remember this. The Saints have won three of those, with the only loss coming back in 2008 in the Dome. The wins, 2010, 11-14, by the scores of 14-9, 42-20, and 20-9. Now, the postseason, different story. They've met three times. The first being back in 1987. It was the first Saints playoff game in franchise history, if you remember. 44-10, that final didn't go well. They would lose in the NFC divisional round in 2000 after the Saints picked up their first ever playoff win. Remember, Hakeem drops the ball. They'd go to Minnesota and lose 34-16. But revenge, Joey, would come in the NFC championship game. Tracy Porter picks off Brett Favre, who inexplicably threw that pass. Garrett Heartthrob Hartley, 31-28. And overtime, the final there. So, let's hear how some of these guys are getting ready for this. In particular, as I mentioned, going into the top of the hour break there, Adrian Peterson giving a little intel. Brian Nola East brought that up. Peterson hasn't denied and hasn't held back from saying he's given everything that he can to the Saints.
Yeah, I can give some intel. You know, I'm not going to share it with you guys, but you know, I've been doing that this week, giving my opinion. Both sides of the ball. It's a little more difficult on the offensive side of the ball when you're talking about, like, the offensive linemen. The two guys that are left there are the same guys that I talked to Rick Spielman with about in my exit meeting that I felt like were the best two guys we had, you know, Burge and Sherrills. You know, those two guys are there. Everyone else has got cut or released, you know. So they have a lot of new guys up front that be facing our defense.
No doubt. As for there being some bad blood, look, it's going to be the juicy video and juicy talking points on all of the ESPN shows leading to kickoff tonight. Adrian Peterson returns. How can he stick it to the Vikings? AP, any bad blood?
Yeah, it's not really a lot of animosity, to be honest, because, you know, once I left after our exit meetings, we were on the same page, and that being is that it was up in the air. You know, and I understood that, and they understood it from my end as well. So, you know, when I got that call, I wasn't surprised. You know, for me, it was just, okay, now, you know, finally have this new chapter that I can, you know, I can start. You know, so it was a great 10 years there, and just on something new and better.
As you can imagine, though, Peterson said that return to Minnesota. It's going to be weird.
That's big. You know, it's week one. It's a good way to change the tide, you know, starting the season off with a big win. And, you know, for me, going back to Minnesota, I'm pretty excited about it. I'm just trying to keep myself calm until Monday night comes around.
Will that be difficult to do?
No, not at all. No. You know, it is what it is. At the end of the day, you still have something to accomplish, and that's leaving with a W.
Will you run any harder than you usually run?
No. You know, I'm always out there maxed out, so it won't be anything different.
And it's true. Everyone thinks, oh, he's going to play harder. He's going to play. There's one thing that they've said about Adrian Peterson from the get-go, whether it's Sean Payton or even Drew Brees, that everything he does is full speed. Weight lifting, practice reps, walk through, everything is hard. And look, I can tell you, training camp practices where there was no contact, there was one where Stephon Anthony thought he was just going to kind of run into him and two-hand touch him. AP lowered his shoulder and literally knocked him backwards. Stop it. Don't say, well, that's Stephon Anthony. I'm just saying, AP didn't just kind of walk through the hole there. He ran like he was trying to score. And he says, look, he's trying not to make this game personal.
Yeah, that's how I want to keep it, you know. I don't want to put any extra emphasis on it. Like, hey, we got to really focus or do this and do that because we're playing my old team. You know, it's, hey, You know, we know our matchup defensively. Let's do a great job of studying film and seeing what they present. You know, it's early, so you have to go off a lot of stuff they did last year and what they've shown in the preseason. But for me, the biggest thing is leaving with a W. I don't care how we get it. You know, if it's 600-yard passing, you know, and 80 yards on the ground, as long as we get a W, you know, I'm fine with that. But I expect those numbers to be a little more balanced.
I think obviously some of the keys on this game going to try to avoid those early turnovers. Drew Brees knows if that happens, that stadium is going to get nuts.
It's something that they thrive on and they do a very good job with, especially in their stadium. So it's something that, yeah, we've emphasized a lot. And, you know, you just understand what an important factor that can be in a game like this.
Oh, yeah. Joey, you know what you don't want to hear tonight. Stupid horn. It goes on and on. Every time something good happens. I'm just telling you now, if you keep hearing that over your surround sound speakers, the Saints are not doing well, right? Back to pass, Breeze. That's probably an interception. You don't want to hear the horn.
No, I thought you were playing something back from Game of Thrones. I'm like, what are you doing, Gus?
Yeah, no, it's just the horn. They play it all the time there. Anyway.
I wish they would play this, though.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. Near side to the 40. And John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line.
7 seconds left in the game.
Boy, I tell you what, that you were this close, weren't you? From an expletive from that play-by-play guy.
You were
this close, no doubt about it. Look, I mentioned the five Pro Bowlers that the Vikings have. Xavier Rhodes being one of them. Drew Brees was asked, is he one of the top in the league?
Rhodes is a top-tier cornerback. I had the chance to be with him in the Pro Bowl. Obviously, we played against him his rookie season here in 14. And just to watch his improvement and the confidence that he plays with, first of all, he's got all the traits, you know, size, speed, strength. And, you know, he's arguably one of the best cornerbacks in this league for good reason.
I kind of get the sense and feeling. I don't know. Joey, is it just me, too? When I'm looking at social media, too, the Patriots game in week two, sexy, right? Panthers division game, London, Miami, and you're looking at the rest of the schedule. I kind of get the sense and feeling that maybe enough respect isn't being paid to the Vikings. They were 11-5, the Vikings, two seasons ago. Last year, they were 8-8, literally having to go get a new quarterback for week one after Teddy Bridgewater blew his knee out. Like, that's a big, big loss before the season starts. And no Adrian Peterson, who got hurt. I mean, a new quarterback and no running back. And they went 8-8. They're a good team. And Drew Brees was asked this week, does he consider Minnesota among the best teams in the NFC?
Oh, without question. I don't think anybody's overlooking them around the league. I mean, certainly not us. These guys are arguably one of the best defenses in the league and have been for the last couple of years. They started off extremely fast last year, and then obviously, you know, were not able to make the playoffs, but they came out of a very tough division where two other teams did make the playoffs. So we know this is going to be an extremely hard-fought, tough, physical game. We've got a ton of respect for Mike Zimmer and the program that he's now built there over the last few years. So we expect them to be their absolute best.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how this game goes. Number one ranked offense versus number three ranked defense from a season ago. New year, though. New year, different faces, different characters. Let's see what happens. Let's go to Minnesota when we come back after this break. Mike Triplett, ESPN.com. We'll chime in with him. Continue to get your takes and comments. And don't forget New Orleans and Baton Rouge, the new post-game show that will start tonight after this game. Anytime the Saints play, John Forcade and myself, we'll be taking your calls, your tweets, and talking about the win, hopefully, even the loss. Both markets, ESPN New Orleans and ESPN Baton Rouge, so be sure to join us the second the game ends. Literally, the mics are going on, so within the minute, we will begin our post-game coverage. So looking forward to that tonight here, probably between 9 and 9:15 is when that game should end, unless it goes into overtime, and hopefully talking about a Saints win. Mike Triplett next on ESPN New Orleans.
They got some good DNs over there, and so I'll be tested for sure.
That is Ryan Ramczyk, the rookie, getting the start over at left tackle. He will indeed be tested. Well, we'll see how it goes tonight. Mike Triplett, ESPN.com. Follow him on Twitter at Mike Triplett. In Minnesota for the game, Mike, that is just one of the many storylines in this. I know it's juicing. You've probably had to do already some reports on Adrian Peterson going back to Minnesota. That said, there are so many storylines into this game in there.
You're sure there's more than one?
Exactly, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're going to find out if this Saints defense is really improved after they looked so good in the preseason. We're going to find out if Ramchick can hold up. The other first-round pick, Marshawn Lattimore, huge for them in this game. And it's just always fun to watch the Saints offense. I mean, Adrian Peterson aside, Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram and Michael Thomas. So they're going to be tested against a really good defense tonight.
Yeah, you tweeted a little bit ago, you wrote on these rookie running backs. They brought in Dalvin Cook through the draft, Alvin Kamara for the Saints. I'm with you. I think when you look at games like this, it's always about matchups, isn't it, Mike? Like, I'm watching the Kansas City-New England game, and I'm looking at Kareem Hunt, and I'm like, man, if that isn't how what I think Kamara can be for the Saints.
Well, that Kareem Hunt-Kansas City game makes it kind of useless for us to be talking about what's going to happen tonight because nobody saw that coming. Yeah, I mean, when you talk about matchups, the thing about the Saints is there's some matchups that play right into their hands, and they might not win, but you know it's going to be a shootout. But there are times when the Saints kind of go out of their element on the road, play a team they don't play that often, play a different style of team that likes to play a lot of defense, and the Saints aren't always their best in those situations. I would be surprised if we see the Saints offense looking its best tonight. I feel like, and even the last couple times they played the Vikings, I know it's different personnel, but I think it was Mike Zimmer. They were like 14-9 and 20-10 scores, things like that. So, I'd be surprised if this one plays out like the Patriots Chiefs game where somebody's in the 40s and somebody's in the 30s or whatever. But, you never know in week one. Week one's always a little bit of a wrench.
At Mike Triplett is the way to follow Mike on Twitter. Mike, one of the things that you also put up there is something that I've talked about leading into this game. I think Sean Payton is a storyline. Like, what is the game plan going into Minnesota? How do you fight the urge to have Adrian Peterson be sort of a star? Because, like, I mean, if it doesn't go well, do you continue to feed him? Do you not? All those different things. You kind of reached out to some folks to try to see how they would approach it, huh?
Yeah, you know, I was curious, and at first I thought that story might just be a little sidebar or a portion of a bigger story, but all the coaches I talked to had such great stories. In particular, people got to go read this, just for Steve Mariucci dealing with Jerry Rice's final home game when he said he scripted like 17 plays in the first 30 for Jerry Rice, but the Bears didn't let Rice get the ball, and Terrell Owens broke the NFL record for most catches in a game in that game. Oh, I was covering that game, and it was, I mean, the stories you were telling, just unbelievable. So, yeah, I mean, this is stressful on coaches. Or, you know, there's a number of reasons why he's going to probably want Adrian Peterson to have that moment, to do right by Adrian Peterson, to win the chess match against his buddy Mike Zimmer. But I also think he could absolutely, you know, use him as a little bit of a decoy, and I think we're going to see a lot of play action and everything. So that chess match within the game is going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Five Pro Bowlers return for Minnesota on this defense, and they're no joke, are they? I mean, you heard Drew Brees this week speak about them very highly. I don't know. I kind of get the sense of feeling Saints fans maybe don't – I'm not even saying they're not giving it the respect they do, but – it's a pretty good defense. They went 8-8, losing their quarterback and Adrian Peterson last year.
Yeah, well, they did start 5-0, though, and the defense started faster last year than it finished. Their defense is a little bit of a mystery, too, if they're as good as they showed in the first half of last season. But you're definitely right that at least the Saints fans I've heard of not giving enough respect. I picked the Vikings, but I picked it 23-20, and I, you know, like I said, this is a coin flip game on a neutral field, and I gave them the home field edge, and absolutely won't be surprised to go it either way. But just the thought that I could consider the Saints might not be the Vikings was the shocker of the century, it sounded like, from the feedback I got.
Well, I want to get into that to wrap things up about the importance of this game. I know it's one game, but it's a huge game. But first, tell me, how much should I have respect for a guy in Sam Bradford. I mean, a guy did the completion percentage record a year ago, but I'm still not considering him an elite quarterback.
Well, he's, you know, when you've got a defense like the Vikings have, you don't need your quarterback to win the game for you. You don't want him to lose the game for you. So he set the all-time record for completion percentage last year and doesn't throw a lot of interceptions. So the Saints, you know, they'll be patient. And, you know, they'd like to win the game 20-17 or 23-20. And the Saints are going to have to apply the pressure on him to make him play catch-up, which is something they haven't done a good enough job of in recent years. When they were so good for all those years, they were making teams play catch-up against them. That's when the sacks came. That's when the turnovers came. So it would play right into the Vikings' hand if this one is moving slow and low scoring. The Saints would love to force Sam Bradford to have to force things in this game.
Mike Triplett from ESPN.com. At Mike Triplett is the way to follow on Twitter. Two final things. First, Mike, how big is this game? I mean, three straight 7-9 seasons, but in those 7-9 seasons, you've started the first quarter of the season 1-3. How big is it to get this win?
Well, the last 2 years in a row, 0-3. And, yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate because everybody who can just glance at the schedule can see it, but ESPN did this thing, their magazine preview, where they had the percentage chance of winning every game based on, like, the FBI index or whatever. And these first three games on the Saints' schedule are three of the five toughest games on their entire schedule. So I guess the one good thing is if the Saints go 1-2, that's actually a pretty good start. If they just win at Minnesota or beat New England or win at Carolina, any one of those three games would be a real big win. The negative, obviously, is that they're going to be favored by at least 3.5 points, probably in all three of those, or, you know, favored to lose by at least 3.5 points in all three of those games. So that's a tough way to start and not get that first free win under your belt. But if you do earn a win tonight, absolutely, or really any one of those first three wins, that could sort of set you off to the races for the rest of the way.
All right, so that wraps us up with the question that I'm asking our listeners and Saints fans on Twitter as well, Mike. I need a key to the game that will be able to tell if the Saints win or lose, and one player on offense, one player on defense you think needs to have a good game.
You got to pre-prep me for this stuff, man.
Yeah, you got it, man, off the top of your head. Give me a key. What needs to happen, you think, for the Saints to win?
All right. I think the Saints need to take a lead in the first half and not be playing catch-up in this game. That won't play into their hands. So the key to the game is maybe they don't have to score first, but they need to be leading before this first half is over. What they do against Dalvin Cook, he's the X factor on the other team. He's the guy who scares you on the other team. So Dalvin Cook is the Vikings X factor. And then I'll say Marshawn Lattimore. They need him to be a number one cornerback in this game, not the number two guy, because PJ Williams, good solid number two. We've seen Ken Crawley, Sterling Moore be good, but Marshawn Lattimore needs to play at the level of a number one cornerback, and they're probably going to test him tonight.
Now, you're asking that in the first game of the season to kind of give you, again, another example of just how young this team is, especially on the defensive side of the football. It'll be an interesting game, Mike, just after 6 o'clock, the kickoff. Enjoyed it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, for sure. I had Mike Triplett's the way to follow him over on Twitter. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll go over some more sound from the locker room. And again, from Sterling Moore, I thought I had some good things to say. Look, Lattimore is key. There's no doubt. And here's the thing. How much can he be tested if the guys up front put pressure on Bradford? That's why it goes back to what Mike was saying. You have an offensive line, and I get it. Look, you can practice, you can rep it, you can study, you can get ready for it. First game for five guys is the first game for the offensive line that's starting tonight ever together, ever. It's got to play an advantage for the Saints. And all it takes is one hurried up throw, one big hit, one something to turn into a big play for the Saints defense. So I think that opportunity may be there or not. He said one of the X factors is Dalvin Cook. They're really high on him over in Minnesota. Let's see how that sort of goes. Again, my big guy on defense is A.J. Klein. On offense, I think it's Ramczyk. If you got to help him more than not, it may not help the offense. If you don't have to help him nearly as much, maybe you can open up the offense a little bit more. So we'll see. What do you say? Give us a call, 800-998-1003. No more guests the rest of the way. Want to get your opinions on it? Or you can tweet at us at ESPN Radio NOLA. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
everybody got to rally to the ball. And, you know, we always emphasize in our meetings, it's not the play that matters. It's how we play that matters. And
that is linebacker Manti Te'o. He believes in his defense. You'll hear a little bit more from him coming up in a little bit. 800-998-1003. It's the same number you're going to use to call in during our post-game show. John Forcade and myself, we got you the second the game ends. It's called the bottom line. We'll have it every single time the Saints play this season. So 16 post-game shows, hopefully more in the postseason. Mike in Mandeville, thanks for calling the Sports Hangover. What you got?
Hey, G-Cat, I think the Saints are going to win big tonight. I watched Minnesota play the third preseason game.
Right.
Their offensive line is atrocious. I mean, everybody was on his back and in there. And I think the speed of our line, I think you're going to see the Saints come out. I think Adrian Peterson's going to play big, just a little revenge thing there. And, I mean, I'm excited about the Saints. And like he had on before said, if they win one of those three, I think the Patriots line looked like hell, too. I mean, this is a lot better team. And if we just stay healthy, I think we got a good shot at going 10-6.
I'll say this. The backs of the offensive line for Kansas City, you could read their jerseys. And that told me a lot about that Pats D-line, at least in that game. Now, granted, look, same conference. They've played each other a couple times in the postseason, things like that nature. So maybe they know them, right? And you had all season to be ready for them. But I was surprised with you, Mike. That D-line couldn't stop anything. And I'm looking at that offense, and I'm like, look, Alex Smith looked like Montana out there, you know, using a lot of mismatches and things like that. I hear that there's five Pro Bowlers on this defense. I do. I hear it. I do. One thing you can do to take away a good corner, a good pass rush, is run the football. Now, you brought in two new backs, and you have a 1,000-yard back. How much do the Saints try and stick to try to run the football? I don't know. That's what I'm curious about. It's a storyline to me. What is the game plan for Sean Payton today? Do you try to, like the Broncos last year, you know, the Broncos had like the number one and number two passing defense, so they came out throwing the football against them. I probably thought they should have run against them. I'll never forget that. I was on in a Denver pregame show earlier that day, and they were petrified the Saints were going to rush for 200-plus yards because they didn't. They had injuries to the D-line. They couldn't stop the run all season, and you saw it in the first two drives. It was Air Payton. So what are we going to get tonight? I don't know. I honestly don't know. Mike, if Sean Payton calls you to consult, what kind of game plan? What are you doing tonight?
What I want to do is I want to get off to a fast start, and then I want to use those backs to milk the clock. I mean, you know, the thing we've got, and everybody's talking about AP and about Ingram, but the Kamara, I mean, that little open and space long handoff, here we go, is huge. And the fact that, you know, we got a defense playing with some swag, and they're acting like they, hey, we're not going to have the worst defense in rush, and we're not going to have defense. It's an old line, and you say it all the time, but I want to take what the defense gives us, you know, from an offensive standpoint. And, you know, I hate Snead being out of there, but we got some good receivers, and they always say next man up. If he broke his leg the first play, we'd be doing the same thing. But I think those running backs, you know, that threesome scares me. If I'm trying to game plan against them, you can't put eight in the box because Breeze is going to pick you apart, and I think that's exactly what they're going to do. Just counterpunch all night, but they're lying. I watched Minnesota in that third game. Like I said, they're atrocious. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is ridiculous, you know.
The Saints, thank you for the phone call, had 17 sacks in the preseason. And we're going to find out tonight if it translates, because he's right. They may have Dalvin Cook, and Bradford may have set the completion percentage record last year. That's great. They literally are starting for the first time tonight these five guys together, ever. If the Saints D-line can't take advantage of that, it's going to be a long season. One of the things that they were talking about going into this game here is the importance of a fast start. Got to have it. Drew Brees,
September?
Yeah, emphasis but not pressure. You know, we know that if we focus on the process, the result will take care of itself. You know, if we detail all the stuff we need to in practice, that, you know, this is when we win the game, so to speak, is in our preparation now, because that allows us to go out with a ton of confidence and relax and play ball on Monday night.
We'll hear from some more players coming up next segment talking about the importance of this first game, because it is, I get it, it's one game. It's a huge game. Marlon Favorite at Big Fave 504. We're going to talk a little bit about the LSU win over the weekend, but also the Saints. Let's just start there with the black and gold. I get it. Marlon, look, you've been in locker rooms before, and you know that whether it's a team that maybe has had your number the last several years, but in this particular case, 3 straight years, you haven't been to the postseason. 3 straight years, 7-9. 3 straight years, you've started 1-3 in the first 4 games of the season. It is one game. But it's a big game, isn't it?
Oh, it's a big game, man. And how you doing, Gus, brother?
Good, buddy.
Glad to hear from you. But it's a huge game, man. It's a game where, hey, you just said it, 3 years in a row not making it to the playoffs. So for this team, it's a lot that's on the line. One of the main things in particular is, did they fix the past 3 years? And in the preseason, it got us all excited because we did start to see a team coming together, particularly on the defense, a rising star on the defensive line in Sheldon Rankings. So we have a lot to look forward to tonight. Adrian Peterson going back home, so that offense should be fired up, man. And I'm looking to seeing how the end result of this game is going to be.
You always talk about being the battle in the trenches here. You have a rookie left tackle starting. You have Max Unger going to get the most work. He's not coming back from injury. Larry Horford, his first game with this line as well. And a D-line that's pretty good. Everson Griffin is a beast out there on the defensive end. How do you see this matchup on the line?
Well, what I see is, offensively, I'll start with the offense first. This is going to be the first real test for Ramsey. He's really going to have to, hey, the big boys are coming out. This is the first game for the Vikings, so of course I'm going to definitely have my eye on him. Secondly, man, just looking at, you know, the entire offensive line, and now it's a new chemistry that has to be developed. You said Larry Walford, the Pro Bowl offensive lineman. Andres Pete, this is his third season, so I'm looking to see growth on that offensive line. Defensively, you mentioned Griffin. You know, he's definitely a rising star. And, you know, of course, I talked about Sheldon Rankins and Cam Jordan. Is this going to be compared to the defensive line in 2013 when Junior Gallette was here, Cam Jordan, and those guys had a combined, I want to say, 24, 25 sacks? So if that area is improved with the Saints, we know the rest of the story. You're looking at a top 3 offense, Hall of Fame quarterback, Hall of Fame running back, quiet as it's kept in Adrian Peterson. Mark Ingram, he always plays motivated when he's challenged. Michael Thomas, he's definitely, in my opinion, emerging star, probably a top 5, top 7 wide receiver in the NFL. And then a secondary, which, again, we have, to switch back over to the defensive side of the ball, we have Lattimore and, of course, Williams and Kenny Vaccaro. And Von Bell, who's definitely, you know, making his mark for his second season. These are the areas that we're going to look at, and they're going to be put to the test tonight with a very competitive Vikings team.
Speaking with Marlon Favorite at Big Fave 504 is the way to follow him over on Twitter. I know you liked Leonard Fournette, the Tiger, getting 26 carries, 100 yards, a TD in the Jacksonville win over the Texans, but you remember, as we were getting closer to the draft and we did a draft show, there was a time where Dalvin Cook was actually being taken above Leonard Fournette. He went later, much later in the draft that took place, but the Vikings did get him. There's a lot of hope that he and Latavius Murray can help the last place and ranked rushing offense in the NFL from a year ago. What do you see in a guy like a Murray and Cook and how they can help that run game?
Well, You have two guys that have different talents. Of course, with Murray, he's going to be more of an in-between a tackle guy.
Right.
Dalvin Cook, man, just looking at him as a collegiate player, very explosive for Coach Jimbo Fisher down there at Florida State. Could catch out of the backfield. You know, can make plays at the drop of a dime, can cut at the drop of a dime. So when you have a guy like that, and again, just a good fit for him, he's gonna, in my opinion, if he can transfer that collegiate game over to the pros, of course, with a better offensive line, you know, more seasoned veterans, then he could potentially, you know, do well like Leonard Fournette did. So, I mean, for the Saints defense, you know, we don't want to overlook the rookie. So I'm looking to see him possibly. I mean, he might have somewhat of an impact. I'm expecting anywhere between from scrimmage, right, 50 to 100 yards, you know, something along that line.
Finally, Marlon, you were a part of the broadcast, the newest member of the LSU Sports Network there for the Tigers taking on Chattanooga. Look, I mean, it was what we expected. It was a big performance by a lot of the Tigers there as well. What can you take out of it? My thing I took out is what you and I talked about actually on Friday. I thought it was nice that you saw Brennan get some, but I wanted to see Etling in as much action as possible, and I thought he did play a lot. And wanted to get him sort of going here as you get into Mississippi State.
Yeah, well, what I thought, I honestly didn't think we were going to see that much of Geis and Edelin. I mean, I know that LSU wanted to see Darius Geis get a 100-yard game, but I didn't think those guys were going to get as much snaps as they right. did, but they did it. And it's a good thing. I mean, from what we were talking about, I remember talking with Jacob Hester on Saturday. It was like, man, we like this team. I mean, the only thing Coach Ed Orgeron really talked about was improving the kicking game. But offensively, kicking game is penalties, basically. Offensively, you know, you have some really good running backs. I love the offense. I mean, Matt Canada might have showed us 12% of his playbook.
Right.
Which is the other exciting thing to look to as we get into SEC play against Mississippi State. But, I mean, from our viewing point, man, we see a team that's they kind of remind me of the Saints, you know, in a sense. You know, the last 3 years for LSU wasn't really all of that hot. Leonard Fournette's entire time at LSU, he didn't really experience a major BCS bowl game. So
right.
this LSU team, we have a really good quarterback. I really feel like Danny Ellen's outside game is good. His vertical ball is good. His pocket presence is good. Offensive line is developing. A lot to look for on offense. DJ Shark took two back to the house, not one, but two back to the house. So that's the explosiveness we like to see. Now, as right. far as LSU, go ahead. What you got, Jeff?
Oh, no. I was saying, no, right. No, absolutely. You're right. You got to see a lot of the different plays there.
Definitely. And if you switch over to the defensive side of the ball with LSU, I mean, these guys are getting after the quarterback. And this is without Arden Key. I mean, Chasson getting off. Kevon Chasson, two stacks. Big Gilmore in the middle getting after the ball. Logan getting a start on the edge with missing Rashard Lawrence, who I think is probably the most developed interior guy that they got, the most talented. Kind of remind me of a Sheldon Rankins in terms of importance to the inside of that line. He didn't play on Saturday, you know, due to injury. But I mean, once you got that full team in that secondary, Greedy Williams, come on, man, this is a freshman. So I'm trying to figure out how they're gonna put him on the field, because again, he didn't have a second rounder in Tolliver who didn't play. You know, well, so this LSU team is very convincing.
I'll say this, Marlon, you definitely saw a lot of the depth and talent. Then again, let's see him against a little bit more talent. You're going up against Mississippi State this week. It's on the road, so the first real road test of the season. Even though I know BYU was supposed to be at Houston, but they didn't pass the 50. I don't think where that game was going to be played was going to be different. Take us back to your experiences in Starkville. Are the cowbells literally that loud? Does it affect the game, and can it affect the game? The cowbells.
Those cowbells are loud. That's a really big mechanism for them. And to be honest with you, up until probably my junior or senior year, I didn't even really notice them. So So, you know, now that, you know, someone brought it to my attention then, it can affect the game. But I just really feel like this LSU team has enough veteran leadership to show what they could do on the road. So this is going to be their first what's called big test. We had a chance to see what this offense is like and, you know, what these young guys are like on defense and even some on offense in the first what we would consider preseason game because they're non-conference. So, you know, we expected LSU to beat BYU. I mean, I want to say that Chattanooga, Tennessee had a 1.5% chance of winning this game. So, Mississippi State, a competitor, I think, in my opinion, outside of Alabama, this is the only other team in this conference that's really going to be challenging to us. Have a really great quarterback in Fitzgerald, as we saw last year. So I'm definitely interested in seeing how this game is going to come out.
No doubt. That's Marlon Favorite. We'll speak with him again on Friday. Get some keys going to Mississippi State and Saints and New England. Marlon, as we let you go, real simple. I need a key to the game for the Saints. And who do you think on offense and on defense needs to have big games for New Orleans to win?
Okay. Key to the game for the Saints is to basically let all three phases shine brighter than diamonds. Hello. That's the key to the game. All three phases, not just the offense having an amazing game, not just the defense, but the special teams as well. On offense, Adrian Peterson, man. I see Adrian. I don't care how many snaps he gets tonight. I think him having a big game going back home is going to be extremely a big deal for the Saints. And on defense, man, I love to keep it inside the trenches. I'm looking to see how my boy Sheldon Rankins is going to wreak havoc in the middle. So those are the three things that I'm looking for. And those are the two guys.
There he is. Big Fave 504. As always, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining us.
Man, thanks for having me, guys. Have a blessing, bro.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. We come back. Just how big is this game? Several Saints players with their comments as to how big it is and how much attention it's been actually placed on it as a team. Don't go anywhere. Final segment of the Sports Hangover is up next on ESPN New Orleans.
Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell.
So how big is getting this first win? A 1-3 starts the last three seasons. You finished 7-9. Manti Te'o, a new member on this team, he didn't even know that the last three seasons, the Black and Gold, have started 1-3.
You know, honestly, I mean, to tell you where our mind is, I didn't even know that. You know, I think all we've been emphasizing all offseason and to this point is to play fast, start fast, and finish strong. So we're not even worried about what happened in the past. You know, you got to learn from the past or else it's going to repeat itself. But, you know, I think for me to be a new guy and to not even know about that, you know, it goes to show how much further we've come along. We're playing at a level, at a fast tempo. Now when the lights come on, that's when they really got to come forward, you know, so. You know, it's not going to be perfect, and we know that. But with the scenarios and the situations that we play through, we can overcome anything.
Sterling Moore, he's only been here two seasons, right? Around this time last year is when he was brought in. It was for that Giants game. It was like, need a corner. Come on in. He's kind of become a bit of a leader back there in that secondary. Even he says he understands a quick start's key.
Yeah, it's huge, especially, you know, obviously last year we lost so many close games. You know, if we would have started, you know, any type of better than we did last year, yeah, you know, it would have been a different situation for us, you know, with the postseason and things like that. So, you know, it's a tough early schedule for us, obviously, with, you know, Minnesota, Monday night, quick turnaround, defending champions. It's something that we look forward to at the same time because you got to realize, man, let's take care of business, especially early in the part of the season. So if we have any issues, you know, hopefully it'll mask anything that we might have later on in the season.
Ted Ginn, he's the newest member of the Saints here as well, brought in from the offseason, but he's been at Carolina, and he knows the record that the Saints have gotten. He says he can't dig the hole that they have the last 3 years.
Well, we all know what this team has been through for the last couple of years, you know. the whole main focus is to come out and start fast. You know, we all at the same level in this game, you know, as far as records. You know, so we just have to go out and just compete, you know, and play the play and play the games, you know. And I just think that it is a must that we do start fast, you know. I mean, you know, the early bird gets the win every time, you know. So we just got to just keep trusting our preparation, trusting our players, trusting our brothers, you know, and just keep playing.
I just think it's going to be so important to get things going off on the right foot. I mean, look, again, you know, even Drew Brees touched on it here as well, that if you just don't, and again, I'm not saying they're not going to beat the Patriots next week, but do you really want to be 0-1 going and facing a team that got it, you know, one-handed to itself at home last Thursday with a couple of days extra to rest, heal, get ready, prep? You got to turn around on a short week. And you go to Carolina. All of those games have been battles over there. Every single time they go to Charlotte, it's a tough battle. Winnable? Sure. Cam Newton didn't impress me yesterday. And, you know, and I mean, Christian McCaffrey looked like an NFL running back at the time, and he wasn't the world. But point is, it's a tough game. And I've said, to me, the London game is, you don't know what you're going to get. It's a wild card. I don't know how good Miami is going to be. Jay Cutler with that offense. They got a good defense. You're trying to avoid 1-3. You're just trying to avoid 1-3. And I'm not about saying putting the pressure and things of that nature. But I think it's important. As Bree says, it's important to get off to that fast start. He says no pressure. I think, I don't know if you call it pressure, but I definitely think you stress the importance of it.
Yeah, emphasis but not pressure. You know, we know that if we focus on the process, the result will take care of itself. You know, if we detail all the stuff we need to in practice, that, you know, this is when we win the game, so to speak, is in our preparation now, because that allows us to go out with a ton of confidence and relax and play ball on Monday night.
Now, again, this offensive line that the Vikings have, can the Saints D-line take advantage of it? Cam Jordan.
Is that better for us? That means they don't have that chemistry set, right? At the end of the day, again, the D-line has to take advantage of what we can take advantage of. I think they do a phenomenal job with, you know, Bradford and a lot of quick throws, a lot of check downs, a lot of screens. I mean, what they've got good at last year. We've been watching film. I'm pretty sure I've seen everything from all last year's film to, heck, might even gone to last year's preseason games. Who knows at this point? You know, we've been watching film for like a week and a half, geared up towards the Vikings. So come Monday, we should be oiled up and ready.
There you go. I think with five new starters, or just not even five new starters, the first time that these five guys together as a group are playing is going to be key, more than anything. Joey, give me a score. I'm going 23-17 Santos.
I am going Saints 27-7.
Wow.
Yes.
27-7 from Joey.
Yes.
The butt kicking. Let me exactly. Tell you something. If that happens, and you know what we're coming in tomorrow, right? With Mike, you know what we're starting the show with tomorrow, don't you?
This morning. Hey, Gates, you are
the savior. Uh-oh.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, I don't think I'm ready to play that just yet, right? I mean, I don't want to be jinxing it or anything. Look, I think it's going to be fun tonight. You've seen the defense that I think is going to improve. I think the offense has some weapons. And I think they're ready. I think they've understood the importance that they have to have in this game. I really honestly do. I'd be shocked if they go up there and lay an egg. I really honestly do. I don't see them laying an egg. I think it'll be loud early. And I think at the end of the day, Adrian Peterson may have a big play or two. Alvin Kamara thinks going to have a big play or two. We'll see what happens. Don't forget, though, we will have a post-game show for you right here on ESPN New Orleans and ESPN Baton Rouge. So both cities. Get the call in and chime in. Second the game ends, John Forcade and myself will go live. Matt Moscone, after further review, is up next on ESPN New Orleans.